Sure. Our first priority is always absolutely consumer safety. And in this situation as well, it was protecting dollars and protecting consumer safety. So certainly with consumer continuity of care being the most important thing, we wanted to make sure that, staff, Peter was mentioning earlier, I caught the first part of the show where, you know, he's very concerned because he knows that that client relationship is so important, and we agree that's paramount. So when we were looking potentially for a worst case scenario of having to transition a provider, an existing agency, based on the initial information we had before even the audit was on the ground, we had to do emergency planning. We couldn't just sit back and say, well, we'll wait for the data. And so we had to have a contingency plan. And we certainly did talk to La Frontera and at the time also Southwest Behavioral Health Services, two very large organizations in behavioral health organizations, nonprofits in Arizona. Arizona is ranked number 7 in terms of outcomes from a Kaiser report with regard to health care.
Is that why you chose Arizona providers and not any in New Mexico or other states?
Well, we looked, frankly, the New Mexico providers didn't have the footprint, so didn't have the financial capacity. We certainly have some wonderful wisdom and some great folks that are providing services, very good services, as well as running great agencies, and we are going to look to them to help. But bottom line is, with the emergency situation that we thought might be before us, we needed to make sure that continuity of care was absolutely going to be continuous and that folks were going to be safe.
Okay. Diana, I have a question for you from Kit here. Kit Harris, a social worker working at a counseling service in Los Lunas, Valencia Counseling Service.
So, I mean, considering the impact that this has had on the behavioral health community, what I don't understand is how come the agencies were not given a chance to remedy whatever errors were happening, or none of the agencies except for a couple were granted good cause exceptions, and we all applied. It's a very broad impact, and it seems to me you should go to the less impactful first, which is to change some of the ways we're doing things.
Sure, Kit, that's a great question. And bottom line is, with regard to the claims errors and those types of things, that absolutely is what we want to work and give support for clinicians as well as staff that that are in charge of intake for consumers coming through the doors, all that stuff. So technical assistance is definitely at the forefront of this. What happened though was that the actual credible allegations of fraud that we were looking at looked like it was top management. It was questionable business practices and relationships that looked like it benefited top management. And there was also whistleblower information with regard to major concerns for consumer safety, but it didn't point to staff that were on the ground necessarily meeting with consumers and clients. It was pointing to management. So that's where we did not, once we saw that there was credible allegations of fraud, we could not say, well, we'll figure this out later and work on this later. It was when we talked to the AG's office and they accepted all of them, then it's almost like a light switch goes off. We can't talk about those allegations, even if they're probable or even if they're fixable over time. We cannot talk about that. And
okay.
That's frustrating. That really is.